This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Gosh, if you didn't get to hear us in the middle of the 12 o'clock hour, we took phone calls. Don't always do that. Gonna probably do that a little bit more here in the election season. If you like that, give us the feedback that you love it, hate it, whatever. Totally open to moving this show in the direction that is most satisfactory to you as a listener. You're the most important person in that equation. But we had a couple of phone calls, all the phone calls. I mean, John was superstar. He should be here any minute to take your spot.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I will just go in my car.
You know, when
and listen.
When just really insightful, smart commentary, and in an industry that we're in right now where everything is just like max all the time. You hear common sense and it's just very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to get John and Marcellus. They're both black individuals who called in. We're talking about Trump's race, but by that I mean his campaign.
Yes.
Not his orangeness.
It's a little confusing.
Or we're talking about the campaigns for Trump and Harris and letting you all assess them. And we just had some really interesting conversations. And I would like to have a panel with them, with some listeners in here. Two guys call into the show, identified themselves as black. We're both talking about trying to talk to their community about what's going on. And I would like to learn from them.
It's funny because that wasn't really why we opened up the phones. Opened up the phones.
Yeah.
But we are talking about that in the poll today, kind of in a roundabout way. That first caller, though, was great, too. He was talking about how if you want America to look like San Francisco, these are the people you're supposed to vote for. I thought that was a great point.
And I think the most winning point for Donald Trump to remind people of that being absolutely the truth. I wanted to go through, we're going to do two things in this segment here. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about things that people are criticizing Kamala Harris's campaign for. And we're going to discuss as a group if we think do more of that or do less of that or don't do that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the San Francisco criticism to me is tops, all of it, the whole time. So we have a few lists between among the three of us, and we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to get to some things that we missed that Brad wants to highlight in about 7 or 8 minutes. So, Ryan, we'll start with you. Criticisms. Give us one of the criticisms that you see being levied against Kamala Harris, and we'll discuss whether we think it's a good criticism that we should be discussing or not.
Well, we'll just start with the big one. We won't use the word czar, but we will say that she was put in charge of the border under this administration.
Well, those are two things, because y'all know how I feel about arguing, wasting oxygen over whether or not she was in fact the border czar. Her connection to our border policy is white on rice. And you can't separate her responsibility at the border and the absolute crisis that we're in right now. It doesn't matter at all if she was actually officially enshrined as like she's not going to have her statue in Washington, D.C. one day is not going to say border czar under it unless Donald Trump catches wind of that.
Donald Trump wins. I'm going to put up a statue, ladies and gentlemen.
One on each border of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Each bordering state.
Put Kamala Harris statues at the border.
Mm-hmm.
She said don't come.
Mm-hmm. With like a speech bubble.
Do not come.
And Biden t-shirts.
Do not come.
What do you think?
I do think that is effective, but they have to talk about, instead of talking about whether Kamala should be attached to the border, I think that's already established. She's in this administration. Whether she was made in charge of the border or not really doesn't matter. She was a part of the administration that completely opened the border. It's completely porous now. All you have to do is remind people how bad a problem this is. They'll connect the dots.
Her connection to the crisis is important, but you just got to do it in a smart way. Don't dumb it down.
Yeah.
What do you think, Brad?
Okay. So on Ryan's?
Sure. Or your own?
Well, that was one of mine. I think that, you know, tying her to the border is important. I'm agreeing with you, though, in that tying her to the title borders are is not. What's happening at the border is infinitely more important than whatever the person in charge of it is called. Whatever she was called, whatever her responsibilities were, she failed in her responsibilities, which is obvious by the evidence of the number of crossings. The number one, well, actually, my number two one here is the criticism that she is a DEI hire. I think that is absolutely useless. It's just, it doesn't move anybody in the middle. It doesn't convince anybody in the group that you need to convince to vote for Trump, or it doesn't change anybody's mind about her on the other side.
It's also not a solvable problem.
Mm-mm.
You can say she's a DEI hire. You can make your case that she is, and then someone can agree with it or disagree with it. But there are few facts that will. It's like an unprovable point. So. I mean, I feel like that's a lot of time you could spend on something that at the end is going to rest on people's presuppositions to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. That one's a tough one. And I'll throw out another one here because I kind of put this in the same category as that one. And I try to be as couth about this as possible. But the way people talk about it is very uncouth.
Her sexual past.
Yeah.
That's what I have
climbing,
that written down.
I do. Yeah, how she got jobs and things. I don't know that that is an issue that the establishment of the right or media.
No official person.
Can talk about.
Should be discussing it at all.
Trump should not touch this. Nobody really in any sort of official position should touch that issue. But that said, the whisper campaign that people have about it when they're just talking to each other, that does have an effect.
You have to compare the understanding that the allegation is that Kamala Harris has slept her way to the top. Now, you can Google that, or maybe you should DuckDuckGo that. I don't know.
Safe search.
She has had relationships with married men in positions of power and benefited from those professionally. She is not the first woman to do that, but it is part of her past. There are a lot of people who have talked about it. Have you seen that? Is it Judge Joe Brown?
I haven't seen this.
I'm not going to play it on the air. I listen to it, and there are a lot of things I watch or listen to, and I'm like, whoa. I'm not putting that on my show, but whoa. There are a lot of accusations out there, and you know. I look at those types of things and I'm like, well, she was just practicing her sexual freedom. Like, this is something that people should be championing. That's what they make you believe. I don't think that it is an important part of the context of this conversation because her record of what she has done to represent the people. I mean, that's part of her personal life. I would venture to say that the people making really bad decisions in those situations include people other than her, that they would promote somebody or give somebody the position because of a relationship. I'll just put it that way. However, and this is where it's going to become difficult to keep it this way, I don't think that her sexual past should have anything to do with people in an official capacity talking about who should become the president of the United States. If that matters to you, pro or con, as a voter, you absolutely could talk about whatever you want. How have they treated Donald Trump and his sexual past? It's tops for them. Mm-hmm. When they're talking and criticizing Donald Trump and his fidelity, they have the people on the left. I mean, we talk to them in the chat every freaking day about,
yes.
about like the kind of person that Donald Trump is. Would you really like somebody like that to be the president of the United States? Would you really be proud to be associated with him? All of those things flip here.
Mm-hmm.
It's even Stevens.
It's amazing that I've never thought about that because that is so 100% true that this is an issue that the left on one hand will celebrate with Kamala or just ignore. With Donald Trump, no, it is front and center and it is the reason why you as a moral person, how could you?
But the way they get away with it is they've never held themselves to the same standards that they preclude that Republicans hold everybody else to. And by virtue of supporting Donald Trump, I don't think your premise is correct. Kind of all falls apart. Kind of, we're just worried about the future of the country and not what goes on in people's bedrooms, which used to be, even in my lifetime growing up, a really, really key point of the left, but now it's not. Anyway, one that I picked was that she's dumb.
I've got that one.
The idea, God dang it, he ruined it for me. I can't say that phrase anymore without repeating it six times in my head and saying it like Joe Biden. Do the no.
No.
Yeah, God. Is Kamala Harris dumb? I think she's gone pretty far. I think that she has accomplished quite a bit, especially considering that I think that her record sucks. And I think she'd be a disaster for the country because I don't want to, in the middle of the United States of America, live in a place that resembles San Francisco. I'm not interested in it. I don't want San Francisco to come to my doorstep, to my porch, into my kitchen, into my bedroom, into my yard, onto the sidewalks near me. I don't want San Francisco here. But Kamala Harris is the vice president of the United States and the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party. I don't think she's dumb. I think she's resourceful. And I do not want to underestimate her. And suggesting that she is, I mean, it's very obvious. You can listen to her. She cannot speak in a way that really translates a message quickly, concise, in a concise way that makes people go, gosh, it's like she's speaking for me. God, I hope not. I don't think she's dumb. I don't think she's the most articulate speaker in the world. Neither is Donald Trump. If you want to accuse a woman of being sexually promiscuous and dumb, boy, are you going to lose a lot of voters. I don't know what her IQ is. I don't need to know. Her policies suck. Full stop.
How about cackle? That's kind of a part of that conversation.
You don't need to identify it for people to know it.
I 100% agree.
Just let people hear it.
That's exactly what I was
going
to say.
When she's laughing, everybody's going, you can't hear this on the radio, but everyone's cringing. You don't need to talk about it.
No, you don't need to say anything.
Cackling Kamala. You don't need to call her that.
You know what you do need to do is continue to challenge her to speak in interviews.
Put her out there.
Let it happen.
Let it speak for itself.
Yes.
Even if you can't understand it.
Yes, exactly.
How about this one? She was part of the group and maybe one of the main people that hid Biden's decline.
Big. Big issue. Watching her on the tarmac wonder what to do with Wandering Joe. He gets on the plane. It's not his plane. He ain't going anywhere in that plane. I kind of wonder if he wouldn't have gotten off if they'd have been like, we should fly him.
Let's go ahead and get in the plane.
That one's returning to Russia.
Let's go fly and get some ice cream. And we send Biden, come back! Kamala, you are taking this to lengths. I think it's a big issue because she has had a front row seat. And the question that everybody has right now, and it's a very worthwhile question, is who is running the country? Kamala Harris is one of two things. Coherent or incoherent. And if she's coherent, she certainly can see what we've all seen for this time, which is Joe Biden is not up for the job. So who's doing the job? Why were you okay with it before? And now you're like, I think I should be the president.
I think that's a huge issue. A huge issue. And people want to know. I also don't think it changes anything in the election.
I think not only does she think she should be the next president, but she also is like, but I don't need to be president right now. But she's also the vice president who, if Joe Biden is too bad to run for president, can't actually be president. She is the one that's supposed to invoke the 25th Amendment.
It's a messy.
She's still
messy
part
spot.
Of the cover up and still part of covering for it.
I think it's important. I think people need to remind it because everybody gets Joe Biden, mm-hmm. except for Joe Biden, sadly. Anymore?
Oh,
what
yeah.
What about that? The whole issue about prosecuting drug crime unfairly. There's a lot of angles to that.
You can't be, I feel like I can't be angry that she was prosecuting crime.
Exactly.
We need more of that. But she is incredibly selective in who she chooses to prosecute. You hear John said it before. The people who she put in jail for a very long time for the exact same thing that she laughed about on the Breakfast Club that she smoked. Oh, and I inhaled. And everyone's like, oh, you did? Okay. All right. She puts them all in jail for that. They sit there. But then when people are burning down cities, she's asking for money to bail them out of jail. In Kamala Harris's America, you will be prosecuted for the crimes that are politically advantageous for Kamala Harris. That's not a law and order, America. And that's what you get with Kamala Harris.
Brad, do you have this one? The defund the police. Bailing people, rioters out of jail.
Yep.
I think to me that one is a massive issue. The soft on crime. Mm-hmm. Look, do you like the way your cities are being run? Because they're going to be run the same, if not worse, under this president. That president will do nothing to solve that problem, while Donald Trump will do something to solve that problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Just as a broader one, I have just her history as being very far left on a multitude of topics. So you could say the crime thing, defund the police. She's for court packing. She's suggested she wanted to use an executive order to ban assault weapons. Extremely bad on the economy. All of those things. That her left-wing record to me is one that really needs to be hammered home. And it's going to make a huge difference.
Anything else?
That's the most of it.
What's the most important? What's the most important? What's the most advantageous campaign point the Trump campaign can make against Kamala Harris?
I think it might be. It's got to be comparing America, the ideal of nice, safe America, to the idea of what California, San Francisco has become. And that one wasn't even on my list until we started talking about that two segments ago.
That's my top.
I don't know how you communicate a more effective message than that, because the images are everywhere. Homelessness is out of control. No matter where you live, that issue has come home. The immigration issue has come home. I mean, all these things, they kind of mesh together because they're almost like just lawlessness in general. If you want that to continue, here's what you get.
Anything else?
I think it's tying her to the current administration. She is not a new candidate in the sense that she is not. She's been part of this administration, and everything that you've hated about it and everything that was wrong with Joe Biden for the past 4 years, she's part of it. You got to duct tape her to this administration and not
worst
let her
thing,
run from it.
Worst thing that Trump can harp on? I think it's her sexual history.
I was going to say that.
I was going to say just her gender or the identity politics stuff. It doesn't matter. Him making an issue it just doesn't do anything. In the age that we live in, it'll get headlines and it'll just be more like, it's just more Trump being Trump. It's not going to do anything.
All right. Well, I hope you got to have some thoughts on that. We want to listen. We're reading them as they come in too for people on the YouTube chat. So if you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. The YouTube live chat poll for today: is Kamala Harris's race an important topic in the presidential race campaign? Yes or no? This is kind of all what we're talking about today. We want to know what you think. So go to the Andy Fry YouTube channel and vote. Tell us. Think it's a big issue or a topic, I should say, Kamala Harris's race. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some Ask Us Anything. If you got questions you want us to answer, it could be about politics, it could be about the news, it could be about whatever. Andy Fry YouTube channel, leave a comment. We'll answer some of those questions when we come back. Don't go away.
You have to ask me nicely.
Don't make me beg here.
Ask me anything.
Tell me the truth!
All right. Fridays, we try to answer some of your questions and some of our own fun questions with a little Ask Us Anything. If you go to the Andy Fry YouTube channel, you can leave a question in the comments and we just might answer it. Brian, you said you had some questions or a question you wanted to ask?
Based on a conversation we had yesterday, how long could you be alone before you had to go talk to somebody?
Oh, man. It's untested.
Because yesterday we said, could you do it for a day or two? We said, yeah, I think we could. But for me, it was after 2 days, I need to talk to somebody, feel like I'm alive.
I mean...
But we never determined what it was for you.
It's different in, like, during COVID when we were so isolated, you had your family. And I like them.
That doesn't count.
I know.
Alone.
I was never like, I gotta be around people, ever. I don't dislike people. It's just, it requires a lot of energy. I don't know. I think I could go a week. Maybe longer.
At a week, you're going, all right, I need to go have coffee with somebody. I want to have a short conversation with my husband, and then I can go another week.
I mean, are we taking into account, like, I would be isolated from my family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're alone.
But, like, in the context of my life. I mean, I wouldn't want to go that long without talking. But that's about my relationships with my family, not my want and genetic need to be around people. My family and people is very different. I wouldn't want to go a day without talking to my kids and my husband.
Well, I think that's your answer then. I think that is what matters, and that's what counts.
What was the topic about yesterday?
You could be alone. I don't remember how we got there.
Why were we talking about that yesterday?
But we were.
It was one of the questions about intelligence. How long?
About being in solitude or on
being
your own.
Comfortable.
I don't think that's the same thing, but it's your question, so I wouldn't want to go. I wouldn't want to go any amount of time. I'm talking to my husband right now.
Yeah, I like talking to my wife, so it wouldn't be that long.
Dang. Now I'm stuck at 2 days. Now I feel like
I don't know what's so wrong with your family. Dang, that you're Ryan. Like, I'll take it. But it's a completely different question. Like you individually, if you're talking about what it was like before, I mean, they're your children and your spouse. Why would you be like, I'm cool with any amount of time being away from them.
Oh, I'm fine with a day. A day break from everybody. Then I want to see everybody after that first full day is over. Mm. I've had my vacation.
Yeah. Well, I just like my family, so.
Your little smile.
What are you talking about? Brad, you have a question?
Yeah, I'm opening it up right now. Would you rather
My question is, what is your question?
Yeah. Would you rather have everyone know or be capable to read your thoughts, or for everyone you know to have access to your internet history?
You can have my internet history. You'd be so bored.
Yeah, it's kind of boring. Yeah, the internet history is more boring than my thoughts.
First
my thoughts
of all,
are all over the place.
My internet history is super boring, but nobody is going to be like, no way can you see what I've been looking at on the internet. No one's going to say that.
Yeah, right. Even if it is, I mean, you're not going to go, you can't see my search history.
I think it doesn't come as a surprise that I would say that I have a boring internet search history to the point where if it were really spicy or something like that, I wouldn't be like saying that to you right now. So you have no idea.
I have no idea. I think I'd like to know your thoughts right now. Same thing. Look at my internet history. I don't want you to know what I'm thinking about you.
People would be shocked by how often I click on Real Clear Politics and look at polls. Dang, this guy spends a lot of time looking at cross tabs.
Do you have another question?
I do have one more. Do you currently collect anything?
This is like an every month question.
Have we?
Yes. And this is where you talk about your Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, my Dr. Pepper thing is not going very well, though. I wish it were.
How can it not go well? How can it go bad?
Well, because it's just kind of sitting there. I haven't added to it, nor have I displayed it. It's just in a closet.
It's because collecting things is for children.
Yes, I know, but it's kind of cool to have it. And now I'm like, well, why do I have it? There's no point to have it.
You're coming of age.
I guess so. I still like baseball cards a little bit, but I don't collect them. I have a lot of them.
I feel like collecting things is for people who have time for hobbies, and I don't live in a period of time where I have much time for hobbies. There's nothing wrong with collecting things. But I would think that like once you retire, you could get back into collecting things. But everybody who I know who's retiring and getting into their senior years is getting rid of everything they own.
Me too.
They're just purging, getting rid of it, don't want it, don't want to keep it, don't want to store it, don't want to have it.
Yeah, everybody I've ever known who's collected anything. And some people have had very substantial collections of superhero toys. Or I had a friend who was really into Lego stuff. They're just selling it all now. So
why would you? What do you collect, Brad?
I don't collect anything. My dad would say I collect old cars, but I only have 4 vehicles, so I haven't bought one in a long time.
Okay, thanks.
I don't collect anything.
Okay.
I have a question here from Joe.
Okay.
Joe wants to know, can Ryan twerk?
Can Ryan twerk? The question is, will Ryan twerk?
No. The question is, can it is? I'm reading it right now on the screen.
Yes, the answer is an emphatic yes.
Have you ever, in your lifetime, really given it your all on the dance floor in a twerk?
Okay, specific to that question, no.
Time is now.
Not on the dance floor. But my wife
even
sees it.
Where's if, John? If Get I'm John in here.
If I'm in a really good mood, she knows, like, uh-oh, Ryan's twerking. Just because I'm like, uh-oh, something good just happened. And I start doing a twerk because it cracks her up. It's great. It's so shocking. It doesn't come up very often. But when it does, it's really funny. I think, honestly,
now
it's
funny.
Now
I'm mad at Joe, too. Joe, you got one job, and that's not send this show into this direction.
It's funny because I'm pretty good at it. That's why it's
That's
funny.
Not even possible.
It is.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
no,
it is.
No, it's not.
He said I'm pretty good
if
at
you're
it.
Not, uh-huh. That you're not good at it. I've never seen it. Never going to see it. You're not good at it.
Look.
No, you're not.
A lot of what you're doing right now, I would call bait. And one thing I don't take is bait.
You are the easiest person to bait in the history of time. No,
okay, maybe.
Also, I do not want to see you twerk.
No,
there,
no,
that
you
is
don't.
That is an emphatically truthful statement.
Yeah, because you would need a fan. You'd have to fan yourself because it is awesome. It's pretty hot. Yeah, it's really good. Like Miley Cyrus would be jealous because it's really good. And I don't have the kind of body that should do it that well. I will say that. That's why it looks so ridiculous. Thanks for the question, though. What do you want? Do you want me to ask the next one? I mean, what are you waiting for here?
You are not a twerker.
Heck yes. No, you're right. I'm not a twerker.
Uh-uh.
But I have mastered the art of twerking.
No, you haven't mastered it.
I have.
You have not mastered the art of twerking.
If you were to have seen a twerk and then you put that perfect twerk onto me, you would be shocked and amazed.
That doesn't make sense.
Like if on the internet you go, man, now that's a perfect twerk.
What is a perfect twerk?
And you take that out of the context of like some music video and you put it on me doing it, you'd be, wow, you'd be amazed.
I would never do that.
No, I know you wouldn't. But if you had to, because this is Ask Me Anything, and Joe asked, can Ryan twerk? And now we've gotten 5 minutes out of it.
Dash says we're from the Show Me State. No, we are not. We are from the land of Lincoln, and we will put respect on that name. G-Whip says Ryan is confusing twerk with twerp.
No, I'm not. I'll do it at some sort of remote, like next time we're out.
Yeah, the one that I'm not at. Lincoln Go do Davis it at a Camel X remote. I'm formulating a plan here.
This is amazing.
You show up to the Dave Glover remote, the next DGS remote, and be like, hey guys, remember me? Got to shoot a video. And then put it on their account. I don't even know if they have a video account.
Camel X does a lot of opening day remote broadcasts.
They
need
the best
to do
time.
They need to do a closing day remote broadcast.
You never know when closing day is.
I know. That's why it would be fun. Because you get to hear it. See a little twerking. Everybody goes home happy.
Man. Thanks, Joe, for the question. Do we have more questions from people? Do we want to take a break and answer more on the other side?
Let's take a break and then we'll answer.
All right. We're going to do Be or Not the Bee in the 2 o'clock hour at 2:05. So stick around for that. If you have questions that are better than Joe's about Ryan and twerking, stick around. Leave a comment on the YouTube channel. We'll get right back to them. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Wrapping up a little Ask Us Anything. We are asking you on the YouTube live chat poll, is Kamala Harris's race an important topic in the presidential race? Yes or no? Scooter commented and said, regarding our poll question, I believe some voters won't vote for Harris because she is black. Man, I think that we're, I guess, a racist country still. I don't know anybody in my life who is not going to vote for Kamala Harris for that reason.
I don't either.
But I guess Scooter knows those people. He's hanging out with the wrong people. That's strange.
Yeah, man, that's bummer.
Let's get back to Ask Us Anything and answer some more of your questions. You got us? You got some?
Yeah.
Microphone.
Man, I'm all over the place.
He says, oh, dang it.
No, this is the wrong one. This is the one I wanted.
It's very fluid.
What is the strangest thing that you believed as a child?
This is pretty good, though, for our first radio show.
Amazing. The strangest thing.
I thought that sloths were extinct until like 2016.
Really?
Oh my gosh, yes. You don't know that story?
No, I don't think I've ever heard this story.
I actually, there's still 10% of me that believes that they were extinct and they came back and they told everybody else and just not me. I was watching on YouTube. There is this video. A lot of you have probably seen it. There is a sloth. I think he's trying to like cross the road or something like
that.
Yeah,
it's super cute.
And this guy goes, and the sloth like slowly turns around and looks at the camera and smiles so big. And I was like, this is really good CGI. I couldn't believe it. I think I sent it to my husband. I'm like, oh my God, look at this. This looks real. And he's like, it is real. And I'm like, no, sloths are extinct. And he just sits there and stares at me. And I'm like, they're extinct. And he's like, they're not extinct. And I was so happy for them.
I can't believe how long have we been doing a radio show and I've never heard that story?
You haven't heard that
story? I've told the story on the show many times.
No, there's no way. That's a great story.
Yeah.
And I have a perfect memory. So obviously you've never told it before.
I don't know if that's the strangest thing that I believed as a child. I also believe that as an adult, unfortunately. But I am still, every time I see him, really excited for the sloths.
It's actually kind of a fun place to be.
Just like, good for you.
Yeah. Now,
most of the time you don't find things out that are that happy.
Yeah. Most of the time it's bad news.
I thought that they were completely off the face of the planet, and here they are, being cute and slow.
I thought that the week between Christmas and New Year's was just a blank spot on the calendar.
When you were how old?
I don't know. I was probably...
like just one long day.
No. Here's why this happened. Because every year my aunt would get me a advent calendar for December. The advent calendar stops on the 25th. So I knew that after the 25th, it wasn't New Year's Day. So I thought, well, these must just be blank days on the calendar. I never saw a real calendar. I was just looking at the advent calendar.
Oh. Did you make it till 2016 believing that too?
No.
Okay.
Well, good for you. I saw a real calendar 2015.
What about you, Brad?
Man, it's really hard for me to think of something. The one thing that kind of sticks out in my mind is I distinctly remember being little. So I had to have been 2 or less than 2 because it was my brother. My mom being pregnant with my brother and me arguing with her about why she had a basketball under her shirt. And that... I believed that my mom, like, wholeheartedly had a basketball. She's like, no, that's my belly. I was like, no, that is a basketball. Why do you have it under your shirt? And that was it.
She pregnant?
Yeah.
Okay, just check.
I was two. I was waiting for, was she pregnant?
Pregnant with my brother.
Because, no, it was a soccer ball or something. I thought that was the end of the story.
All right, I got another one here. Lori wants to know, what is your favorite all-time movie?
Moulin Rouge.
Ooh, Moulin Rouge. Moulin Rouge.
Dang, 3 for 3.
Awesome, man.
I don't know that I've ever seen
it. I don't think I have either.
Love it.
The movie is called Wet Hot American Summer.
Okay.
It is my favorite.
Part of your internet search history?
No. Well, yeah, I guess so. It's one of the first movies from Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler, Elizabeth Banks. A whole bunch of stars, a whole bunch of comedians.
Is it before they're huge stars?
It was. Paul Rudd had been in Clueless, but this was one of his first big movies. So yeah, it was their first real breakout movie for all of these people. And lots of people are in it. It is a very funny movie.
Amber Warren says Princess Bride, classic. I like Spaceballs more than Princess Bride in that arena, but I love all of those movies.
Yeah, it's good stuff. How about...
what's your favorite movie?
Oh, dang, and I have to answer this. I still have to go back and
because
it's hard for me to come up with one that's my favorite because I don't really do that sort of thing. But if I had to pick one, I think it would be Empire Strikes Back. So the second of the original trilogy of the Star Wars movies is the best one.
Can I pull up a listener question? I think this is a really good one. It's from George W. How does it feel for the first time in your life to have a presidential or vice presidential candidate younger than you are? I don't take that as a hit. I think that's a good question.
It was noteworthy to me.
Yeah.
He is, J.D. Vance is 39.
Oh, man.
He is turning 40 in August, I think maybe within the next week. He is also born in 1984. There are a ton of people who are prominent in news and politics commentary and so on and so forth who were born in 1984, which is the year that I was born in. I find that minorly ironic, but it's kind of crazy. Like, you do see, I mean, you remember what it was like to be the age of the pro baseball players or the pro football players, or to be older than all of the college athletes and be like, I'm older than all those people. And then you start calling them kids. but I did pay attention to the fact that J.D. Vance is my age. That's pretty crazy.
Huh, because that it did not cross my radar at all that he was younger than us until George asked that question.
When George asked that question, I thought he was being facetious or something. Because
I mean, maybe he is, but it doesn't read that way.
J.D., it says to have a presidential or vice presidential candidate younger than you are. I've very publicly said in April I turned 40, and J.D. Vance is 39. He turns 40 this month. And it is something that impacted me. Like, I could, if I were qualified, become the vice president of the United States. People are entertaining the idea that that would be a responsible decision.
The pro baseball player thing did hit me. And the college thing. At some point, I went, oh, man, I'm older than the college players
or
now.
Like Adam Wainwright, who is probably exactly your age.
Yeah.
Like, how senior citizen-y people would refer to him in his line
That's
of
rough.
Work.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan, you're someday going to hit your prime.
Oh, I've still got a lot of pitches left in this arm. But I
all
just
haven't used the one.
Yeah, they're just sitting there not being used. But I did kind of strike me, and Adam Wainwright's a good one because we're the same age almost exactly, that, yeah, this is like everybody now is younger than me. There is no way that I could play a professional sport. Not as if I was entertaining.
Your
that.
Dreams are finally but coming to a crashing halt.
I finally
halt.
Went, oh, no, I'm done. Yeah. That's a moment, though.
Yeah. I think the J.D. Vance thing is interesting. Any other questions? I like this one, maybe to think about for the 2 o'clock hour, and we'll get back to it. You can merge two animals to make a new one. What are you putting together?
I'm putting a mouse.
No,
okay.
Don't say yet.
Okay.
We'll come back to it.
Okay.
Bobo always hits us with all of the questions. One of these days, we'll answer the cheesecake one that somebody keeps asking every week. We don't have any answer to it. Is it a cake or a pie? I don't know.
It's just a fact-based question.
Is Kamala Harris's race an important topic in the presidential campaign, yes or no? Vote on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Let's do Beard at the Beat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Gosh, if you didn't get to hear us in the middle of the 12 o'clock hour, we took phone calls. Don't always do that. Gonna probably do that a little bit more here in the election season. If you like that, give us the feedback that you love it, hate it, whatever. Totally open to moving this show in the direction that is most satisfactory to you as a listener. You're the most important person in that equation. But we had a couple of phone calls, all the phone calls. I mean, John was superstar. He should be here any minute to take your spot.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I will just go in my car.
You know, when
and listen.
When just really insightful, smart commentary, and in an industry that we're in right now where everything is just like max all the time. You hear common sense and it's just very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to get John and Marcellus. They're both black individuals who called in. We're talking about Trump's, Trump's race, but by that I mean his campaign.
Yes.
Not his orangeness.
It's a little confusing.
Or we're talking about the campaigns for Trump and Harris and letting you all assess them. And we just had some really interesting conversations. And I would like to have a panel with them, with some listeners in here. Two guys call into the show, identified themselves as black. We're both talking about trying to talk to their community about what's going on, and I would like to learn from them.
It's funny because that wasn't really why we opened up the phones.
At
we just
all.
Opened up the phones.
Yeah.
But we are talking about that in the poll today, kind of in a roundabout way. That first caller, though, was great too. He was talking about how if you want America to look like San Francisco, these are the people you're supposed to vote for. I thought that was a great point.
And I think the most winning point for Donald Trump to remind people of that being absolutely the truth. I wanted to go through, we're going to do two things in this segment here. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about things that people are criticizing Kamala Harris's campaign for. And we're going to discuss as a group if we think do more of that or do less of that or don't do that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the San Francisco criticism to me is tops, all of it, the whole time. So we have a few lists between among the three of us, and we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to get to some things that we missed that Brad wants to highlight in about 7 or 8 minutes. So, Ryan, we'll start with you. Criticisms. Give us one of the criticisms that you see being levied against Kamala Harris, and we'll discuss whether we think it's a good criticism that we should be discussing or not.
Well, we'll just start with the big one. We won't use the word czar, but we will say that she was put in charge of the border under this administration.
Well, those are two things, because y'all know how I feel about arguing, wasting oxygen over whether or not she was, in fact, the border czar. Her connection to our border policy is white on rice. And you can't separate her responsibility at the border and the absolute crisis that we're in right now. It doesn't matter at all if she was actually officially enshrined as like she's not going to have her statue in Washington, D.C. one day is not going to say border czar under it unless Donald Trump catches his wind of that.
Donald Trump wins. I'm going to put up a statue, ladies and gentlemen.
One on each border of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Each bordering state.
Put Kamala Harris statues at the border.
Mm-hmm.
She said don't come.
Mm-hmm. With like a speech bubble.
Do not come.
And Biden t-shirts.
Do not come.
What do you think?
I do think that is effective, but they have to talk about, instead of talking about whether Kamala should be attached to the border, I think that's already established. She's in this administration. Whether she was made in charge of the border or not really doesn't matter. She was a part of the administration that completely opened the border. It's completely porous now. All you have to do is remind people how bad a problem this is. They'll connect the dots.
Her connection to the crisis is important, but you just got to do it in a smart way. Don't dumb it down.
Yeah.
What do you think, Brad?
Okay. So on Ryan's?
Sure. Or your own.
Well, that was one of mine. I think that, you know, tying her to the border is important. I'm agreeing with you, though, in that tying her to the title borders are is not. What's happening at the border is infinitely more important than whatever the person in charge of it is called. Whatever she was called, whatever her responsibilities were, she failed in her responsibilities, which is obvious by the evidence of the number of crossings. The number one, my number two one here is the criticism that she is a DEI hire. I think that is absolutely useless. It's just, it doesn't move anybody in the middle. It doesn't convince anybody in the group that you need to convince to vote for Trump, or it doesn't change anybody's mind about her on the other side.
It's also not a solvable problem.
Mm-mm.
You can say she's a DEI hire. You can make your case that she is, and then someone can agree with it or disagree with it. But there are few facts that will. It's like an unprovable point. So. I mean, I feel like that's a lot of time you could spend on something that at the end is going to rest on people's presuppositions to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. That was a tough one. And I'll throw out another one here because I kind of put this in the same category as that one. And I try to be as couth about this as possible. But the way people talk about it is very uncouth.
Her sexual past.
That's
what I have climbing, that written down.
I do. Yeah, how she got jobs and things. I don't know that that is an issue that the establishment of the right or media.
No official person.
Can talk about.
Should be discussing it at all.
Trump should not touch this. Nobody really in any sort of official position should touch that issue. But that said, the whisper campaign that people have about it when they're just talking to each other, that does have an effect.
You have to compare the understanding that the allegation is that Kamala Harris has slept her way to the top. Now, you can Google that, or maybe you should DuckDuckGo that. I don't know.
Safe search.
She has had relationships with married men in positions of power and benefited from those professionally. She is not the first woman to do that, but it is part of her past. There are a lot of people who have talked about it. Have you seen the, is it Judge Joe? Is it Judge Joe Brown?
I haven't seen this.
I'm not going to play it on the air. I listen to it, and there are a lot of things I watch or listen to, and I'm like, whoa. I'm not putting that on my show, but whoa. There are a lot of accusations out there. And, you know, I look at those types of things, and I'm like, well, she was just practicing her sexual freedom. Like, this is something that people should be championing. That's what they make you believe. I don't think that it is an important part of the context of this conversation, because her record of what she has done to represent the people, I mean, that's part of her personal life. I would venture to say that the people making really bad decisions in those situations include people other than her, that they would promote somebody or give somebody the position because of a relationship. I'll just put it that way. However, and this is where it's going to become difficult to keep it this way, I don't think that her sexual past should have anything to do with people in an official capacity talking about who should become the president of the United States. If that matters to you, pro or con, as a voter, you absolutely could talk about whatever you want. How have they treated Donald Trump in his sexual past? It's tops for them. Mm-hmm. When they're talking and criticizing Donald Trump and his fidelity, they have the people on the left. I mean, we talk to them in the chat every freaking day about the kind of person that Donald Trump is. Would you really like somebody like that to be the president of the United States? Would you really be proud to be associated with him? All of those things flip here. Mm-hmm. It's even Stevens.
I it's amazing that I've never thought about that, because that is so 100% true, that this is an issue that the left on one hand will celebrate with Kamala or just ignore. With Donald Trump, no, it is front and center, and it is the reason why you, as a moral person, how could you?
But the way they get away with it is they've never held themselves to the same standards that they preclude that Republicans hold everybody else to. And by virtue of supporting Donald Trump, I don't think your premise is correct. Kind of all falls apart. Kind of we're just worried about the future of the country and not what goes on in people's bedrooms, which used to be, even in my lifetime growing up, a really, really key point of the left, but now it's not. Anyway, one that I picked was that she's dumb.
I've got that one.
The idea, god dang it, he ruined it for me. I can't say that phrase anymore without repeating it six times in my head and saying it like Joe Biden. Do the no.
No.
Yeah, god. Is Kamala Harris dumb? I think she's gone pretty far. I think that she has accomplished quite a bit, especially considering that I think that her record sucks and I think she'd be a disaster for the country, because I don't want to, in the middle of the United States of America, live in a place that resembles San Francisco. I'm not interested in it. I don't want San Francisco to come to my doorstep, to my porch, into my kitchen, into my bedroom, into my yard, onto the sidewalks near me. I don't want San Francisco here. But Kamala Harris is the vice president of the United States and the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party. I don't think she's dumb. I think she's resourceful, and I do not want to underestimate her. And suggesting that she is, I mean, it's very obvious. You can listen to her. She cannot speak in a way that really translates a message quickly, concise, in a concise way that makes people go, gosh, it's like she's speaking for me. God, I hope not. I don't think she's dumb. I don't think she's the most articulate speaker in the world. Neither is Donald Trump. If you want to accuse a woman of being sexually promiscuous and dumb, boy, are you going to lose a lot of voters. I don't know what her IQ is. I don't need to know. Her policies suck. Full stop.
How about cackle? That's kind of a part of that conversation.
You don't need to identify it for people to know it.
I 100% agree.
Just let people hear it.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
When she's laughing, everybody's going, you can't hear this on the radio, but everyone's cringing. You don't need to talk about it.
No, you don't need to say anything.
Cackling Kamala. You don't need to call her that.
You know what you do need to do is continue to challenge her to speak in interviews.
Put her out there.
Let it happen.
Let it speak for itself.
Yes.
Even if you can't understand it.
Yes, exactly.
How about this one? She was part of the group and maybe one of the main people that hid Biden's decline.
Big. Big issue. Watching her on the tarmac wonder what to do with Wandering Joe. He gets on the plane. It's not his plane. He ain't going anywhere in that plane. I kind of wonder if he wouldn't have gotten off if they'd have been like, we should fly him.
Let's go ahead and get in the plane.
That one's returning to Russia.
Let's go fly and get some ice cream. We sent Biden. Come back. Colin, you are taking this to lengths. I think it's a big issue because she has had a front row seat. And the question that everybody has right now, and it's a very worthwhile question, is who is running the country? Kamala Harris is one of two things, coherent or incoherent. And if she's coherent, she certainly can see what we've all seen for this time, which is Joe Biden is not up for the job. So who's doing the job? Why were you okay with it before? And now you're like, I think I should be the president.
I think that's a huge issue. A huge issue. And people want to know. I also don't think it changes anything in the election.
I think not only does she think she should be the next president, but she also is like, but I don't need to be president right now. But she's also the vice president who, if Joe Biden is too bad to run for president, can't actually be president. She is the one that's supposed to invoke the 25th Amendment.
It's a messy.
She's still
messy
part
spot.
Of the cover up and still part of covering for it.
I think it's important. I think people need to remind it because everybody gets Joe Biden, except for Joe Biden, sadly. Anymore?
Oh,
yeah. What about that? The whole issue about prosecuting drug crime unfairly. There's a lot of angles to that.
You can't be, I feel like I can't be angry that she was prosecuting crime.
Exactly.
We need more of that. But she is incredibly selective in who she chooses to prosecute. You hear John said it before. The people who she put in jail for a very long time for the exact same thing that she laughed about on the Breakfast Club that she smoked. Oh, and I inhaled. And everyone's like, oh, you did? Okay. All right. She puts them all in jail for that. They sit there. But then when people are burning down cities, she's asking for money to bail them out of jail. In Kamala Harris's America, you will be prosecuted for the crimes that are politically advantageous for Kamala Harris. That's not a law and order America. And that's what you get with Kamala Harris.
Brad, do you have this one? The defund the police. Bailing people, rioters out of jail.
Yep.
I think to me that one is a massive issue. The soft on crime. Mm-hmm. Look, do you like the way your cities are being run? Because they're going to be run the same, if not worse, under this president. That president will do nothing to solve that problem, while Donald Trump will do something to solve that problem.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Just as a broader one, I have just her history as being very far left on a multitude of topics. So you could say the crime thing, defund the police. She's for court packing. She's suggested she wanted to use an executive order to ban assault weapons. Extremely bad on the economy. All of those things. That her left-wing record to me is one that really needs to be hammered home. And it's going to make a huge difference.
Anything else?
That's the most of it.
What's the most important? What's the most advantageous campaign point the Trump campaign can make against Kamala Harris?
I think it might be. It's got to be comparing America, the ideal of nice, safe America, to the idea of what California, San Francisco has become. And that one wasn't even on my list until we started talking about that two segments ago.
That's my top.
I don't know how you communicate a more effective message than that, because the images are everywhere. Homelessness is out of control, no matter where you live. That issue has come home. The immigration issue has come home. I mean, all these things, they kind of mesh together because they're almost like just lawlessness in general. If you want that to continue, here's what you get.
Anything else?
I think it's tying her to the current administration. She is not a new candidate in the sense that she is not. She's been part of this administration and everything that you've hated about it and everything that was wrong with Joe Biden for the past 4 years. She's part of it. You got to duct tape her to this administration and not
worst
let her
thing,
run from it.
Worst thing that Trump can harp on? I think it's her sexual history.
I was going to say that
I was going to say just her gender or the identity politics stuff. It doesn't matter. Him making it an issue it just doesn't do anything. In the age that we live in, it'll get headlines and it'll just be more like, it's just more Trump being Trump. It's not going to do anything.
All right. Well, I hope you got to have some thoughts on that. We want to listen. We're reading them as they come in too for people on the YouTube chat. So if you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. The YouTube live chat poll for today: is Kamala Harris's race an important topic in the presidential race campaign? Yes or no? This is kind of all what we're talking about today. We want to know what you think. So go to the NFR YouTube channel and vote. Tell us. Think it's a big issue or a topic, I should say, Kamala Harris's race. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some Ask Us Anything. If you got questions you want us to answer, it could be about politics, it could be about the news, it could be about whatever. Annie Fry YouTube channel, leave a comment. We'll answer some of those questions when we come back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Gosh, if you didn't get to hear us in the middle of the 12 o'clock hour, we took phone calls. Don't always do that. Gonna probably do that a little bit more here in the election season if you like that. Give us the feedback that you love it, hate it, whatever. Totally open to moving this show in the direction that is most satisfactory to you as a listener. You're the most important person in that equation. But we had a couple of phone calls, all the phone calls. I mean, John was superstar. He should be here any minute to take your spot.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I will just go in my car.
You know, when
and listen.
When just really insightful, smart commentary, and in an industry that we're in right now where everything is just like max all the time. You hear common sense and it's just very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to get John and Marcellus. They're both black individuals who called in. We're talking about Trump's race, but by that I mean his campaign.
Yes.
Not his orangeness.
It's a little confusing.
Or we're talking about the campaigns for Trump and Harris and letting you all assess them. And we just had some really interesting conversations. And I would like to have a panel with them. With some listeners in here, two guys call into the show, identified themselves as black. We're both talking about trying to talk to their community about what's going on. And I would like to learn from them.
It's funny because that wasn't really why we opened up the phones.
At
we
all.
Just opened up the phones.
Yeah.
But we are talking about that in the poll today, kind of in a roundabout way. That first caller, though, was great, too. He was talking about how if you want America to look like San Francisco, these are the people you're supposed to vote for. I thought that was a great point.
And I think the most winning point for Donald Trump to remind people of that being absolutely the truth. I wanted to go through, we're going to do two things in this segment here. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about things that people are criticizing Kamala Harris's campaign for. And we're going to discuss as a group if we think, do more of that or do less of that or don't do that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the San Francisco criticism to me is tops, all of it, the whole time. So we have a few lists between among the three of us, and we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to get to some things that we missed that Brad wants to highlight in about 7 or 8 minutes. So, Ryan, we'll start with you. Criticisms. Give us one of the criticisms that you see being levied against Kamala Harris, and we'll discuss whether we think it's a good criticism that we should be discussing or not.
Well, we'll just start with the big one. We won't use the word czar, but we will say that she was put in charge of the border under this administration.
Well, those are two things, because y'all know how I feel about arguing, wasting oxygen over whether or not she was in fact the border czar. Her connection to our border policy is white on rice. And you can't separate her responsibility at the border and the absolute crisis that we're in right now. It doesn't matter at all if she was actually officially enshrined as like, she's not going to have her statue in Washington, D.C. one day. It's not going to say border czar under it unless Donald Trump catches wind of that.
Donald Trump wins. I'm going to put up a statue, ladies and gentlemen.
One on each border of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Each bordering state.
Put Kamala Harris statues at the border.
Mm-hmm.
She said, don't come.
Mm-hmm. With like a speech bubble.
Do not come.
And Biden t-shirts.
Do not come.
What do you think?
I do think that is effective, but they have to talk about, instead of talking about whether Kamala should be attached to the border, I think that's already established. She's in this administration. Whether she was made in charge of the border or not really doesn't matter. She was a part of the administration that completely opened the border. It's completely porous now. All you have to do is remind people how bad a problem this is. They'll connect the dots.
Her connection to the crisis is important, but you just got to do it in a smart way. Don't dumb it down.
Yeah.
What do you think, Brad?
Okay, so on Ryan's?
Sure, or your own.
Well, that was one of mine. I think that, you know, tying her to the border is important. I'm agreeing with you, though, in that tying her to the title borders are is not. What's happening at the border is infinitely more important than whatever the person in charge of it is called. Whatever she was called, whatever her responsibilities were, she failed in her responsibilities, which is obvious by the evidence of the number of crossings. The number one, my number two one here is the criticism that she is a DEI hire. I think that is absolutely useless. It's just, it doesn't move anybody in the middle. It doesn't convince anybody in the group that you need to convince to vote for Trump, or it doesn't change anybody's mind about her on the other side.
It's also not a solvable problem.
Mm-mm.
You can say she's a DEI hire. You can make your case that she is, and then someone can agree with it or disagree with it. But there are few facts that will. It's like an unprovable point. So. I mean, I feel like that's a lot of time you could spend on something that at the end is going to rest on people's presuppositions to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. That was a tough one. And I'll throw out another one here because I kind of put this in the same category as that one. And I try to be as couth about this as possible. But the way people talk about it is very uncouth.
Her sexual past.
That's
what I have that written down.
I do. Yeah, how she got jobs and things. I don't know that that is an issue that the establishment of the right or media,
no official person,
can talk about.
Should be discussing it at all.
Trump should not touch this. Nobody really in any sort of official position should touch that issue. But that said, the whisper campaign that people have about it when they're just talking to each other, that does have an effect.
You have to compare the understanding that the allegation is that Kamala Harris has slept her way to the top. Now, you can Google that, or maybe you should DuckDuckGo that. I don't know.
Safe search.
She has had relationships with married men in positions of power and benefited from those professionally. She is not the first woman to do that, but it is part of her past. There are a lot of people who have talked about it. Have you seen that? Is it Judge Joe Brown?
I haven't seen this.
I'm not going to play it on the air. I listened to it, and there are a lot of things I watch or listen to, and I'm like, whoa. I'm not putting that on my show, but whoa. There are a lot of accusations out there, and you know, I look at those types of things and I'm like, well, she was just practicing her sexual freedom. Like, this is something that people should be championing. That's what they make you believe. I don't think that it is an important part of the context of this conversation, because her record of what she has done to represent the people, I mean, that's part of her personal life. I would venture to say that the people making really bad decisions in those situations include people other than her, that they would promote somebody or give somebody the position because of a relationship. I'll just put it that way. However, and this is where it's going to become difficult to keep it this way, I don't think that her sexual past should have anything to do with people in an official capacity talking about who should become the president of the United States. If that matters to you, pro or con, as a voter, you absolutely could talk about whatever you want. How have they treated Donald Trump and his sexual past? It's tops for them. Mm-hmm. When they're talking and criticizing Donald Trump and his fidelity, they have the people on the left. I mean, we talk to them in the chat every freaking day about the kind of person that Donald Trump is. Would you really like somebody like that to be the president of the United States? Would you really be proud to be associated with him? All of those things flip here.
Mm-hmm.
It's even Stevens.
I it's amazing that I've never thought about that, because that is so 100% true, that this is an issue that the left on one hand will celebrate with Kamala or just ignore. With Donald Trump, no, it is front and center, and it is the reason why you, as a moral person, how could you?
But the way they get away with it is they've never held themselves to the same standards that they preclude that Republicans hold everybody else to. And by virtue of supporting Donald Trump, I don't think your premise is correct. Kind of all falls apart. Kind of we're just worried about the future of the country and not what goes on in people's bedrooms, which used to be, even in my lifetime growing up, a really, really key point of the left, but now it's not. Anyway, one that I picked was that she's dumb.
I've got that one.
The idea, God dang it, he ruined it for me. I can't say that phrase anymore without repeating it six times in my head and saying it like Joe Biden. Do the no.
No.
Yeah, God. Is Kamala Harris dumb? I think she's gone pretty far. I think that she has accomplished quite a bit, especially considering that I think that her record sucks. And I think she'd be a disaster for the country, because I don't want to, in the middle of the United States of America, live in a place that resembles San Francisco. I'm not interested in it. I don't want San Francisco to come to my doorstep, to my porch, into my kitchen, into my bedroom, into my yard, onto the sidewalks near me. I don't want San Francisco here. But Kamala Harris is the vice president of the United States and the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party. I don't think she's dumb. I think she's resourceful. And I do not want to underestimate her. And suggesting that she is, I mean, it's very obvious. You can listen to her. She cannot speak in a way that really translates a message quickly, in a concise way that makes people go, gosh, it's like she's speaking for me. God, I hope not. I don't think she's dumb. I don't think she's the most articulate speaker in the world. Neither is Donald Trump. If you want to accuse a woman of being sexually promiscuous and dumb, boy, are you going to lose a lot of voters. I don't know what her IQ is. I don't need to know. Her policies suck. Full stop.
How about cackle? That's kind of a part of that conversation.
You don't need to identify it for people to know it.
I 100% agree.
Just let people hear it.
That's exactly what I was
going
to say.
When she's laughing, everybody's going, you can't hear this on the radio, but everyone's cringing. You don't need to talk about it.
No, you don't need to say anything.
Cackling Kamala. You don't need to call her that.
You know what you do need to do is continue to challenge her to speak in interviews.
Put her out there.
Let it happen.
Let it speak for itself.
Yes.
Even if you can't understand it.
Yes, exactly.
How about this one? She was part of the group and maybe one of the main people that hid Biden's decline.
Big. Big issue. Watching her on the tarmac wonder what to do with Wandering Joe. He gets on the plane. It's not his plane. He ain't going anywhere in that plane. I kind of wonder if he wouldn't have gotten off if they'd have been like, we should fly him.
Let's go ahead and get in the plane.
That one's returning to Russia.
Let's go fly and get some ice cream. And we send Biden, come back! Kamala, you are taking this to lengths. I think it's a big issue because she has had a front row seat. And the question that everybody has right now, and it's a very worthwhile question is who is running the country? Kamala Harris is one of two things, coherent or incoherent. And if she's coherent, she certainly can see what we've all seen for this time, which is Joe Biden is not up for the job. So who's doing the job? Why were you okay with it before? And now you're like, I think I should be the president.
I think that's a huge issue. A huge issue. And people want to know. I also don't think it changes anything in the election.
I think not only does she think she should be the next president, but she also is like, but I don't need to be president right now. But she's also the vice president who, if Joe Biden is too bad to run for president, can't actually be president. She is the one that's supposed to invoke the 25th Amendment.
It's a messy.
She's still
messy
part
spot.
Of the cover up and still part of covering for it.
I think it's important. I think people need to remind it because everybody gets Joe Biden, except for Joe Biden, sadly. Any more?
Oh, yeah.
What about that? The whole issue about prosecuting drug crime unfairly. There's a lot of angles to that.
You can't be, I feel like I can't be angry that she was prosecuting crime.
Exactly.
We need more of that. But she is incredibly selective in who she chooses to prosecute. You hear John said it before. The people who she put in jail for a very long time for the exact same thing that she laughed about on the Breakfast Club that she smoked. Oh, and I inhaled. And everyone's like, oh, you did? Okay. All right. She puts them all in jail for that. They sit there. But then when people are burning down cities, she's asking for money to bail them out of jail. In Kamala Harris's America, you will be prosecuted for the crimes that are politically advantageous for Kamala Harris. That's not a law and order, America. And that's what you get with Kamala Harris.
Brad, do you have this one? The defund the police. Bailing people, rioters out of jail.
Yep.
I think to me that one is a massive issue. The soft on crime. Mm-hmm. Look, do you like the way your cities are being run? Because they're going to be run the same, if not worse, under this president. That president will do nothing to solve that problem, while Donald Trump will do something to solve that problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Just as a broader one, I have just her history as being very far left on a multitude of topics. So you could say the crime thing, defund the police. She's for court packing. She's suggested she wanted to use an executive order to ban assault weapons. Extremely bad on the economy. All of those things. That her left-wing record to me is one that really needs to be hammered home. And it's going to make a huge difference.
Anything else?
That's the most of it.
What's the most important? What's the most important? What's the most advantageous campaign point the Trump campaign can make against Kamala Harris?
I think it might be. It's got to be comparing America, the ideal of nice, safe America, to the idea of what California, San Francisco has become. And that one wasn't even on my list until we started talking about that two segments ago.
That's my top.
I don't know how you communicate a more effective message than that, because the images are everywhere. Homelessness is out of control. No matter where you live, that issue has come home. The immigration issue has come home. I mean, all these things, they kind of mesh together because they're almost like just lawlessness in general. If you want that to continue, here's what you get.
Anything else?
I think it's tying her to the current administration. She is not a new candidate in the sense that she is not. She's been part of this administration, and everything that you've hated about it and everything that was wrong with Joe Biden for the past 4 years, she's part of it. You got to duct tape her to this administration and not
worst
let
thing,
her run from it.
Worst thing that Trump can harp on? I think it's her sexual history.
I was going to say that.
I was going to say just her gender or the identity politics stuff. It doesn't matter. Him making an issue it just doesn't do anything. In the age that we live in, it'll get headlines and it'll just be more like, it's just more Trump being Trump. It's not going to do anything.
All right. Well, I hope you got to have some thoughts on that. We want to listen. We're reading them as they come in, too, for people on the YouTube chat. So if you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. The YouTube live chat poll for today, is Kamala Harris's race an important topic in the presidential race campaign? Yes or no? This is kind of all what we're talking about today. We want to know what you think. So go to the NFI YouTube channel and vote. Tell us. Think it's a big issue or a topic, I should say, Kamala Harris's race. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some Ask Us Anything. If you got questions you want us to answer, it could be about politics, it could be about the news, it could be about whatever. Annie Fry YouTube channel, leave a comment. We'll answer some of those questions when we come back. Don't go away.
You have to ask me nicely.
Don't make me beg here.
Ask me anything.
Tell me the truth!
All right. Fridays, we try to answer some of your questions and some of our own fun questions with a little Ask Us Anything. If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can leave a question in the comments and we just might answer it. Ryan, you said you had some questions or a question you wanted to ask?
Based on a conversation we had yesterday, how long could you be alone before you had to go talk to somebody?
Oh, man. It's
Cause,
untested.
Because yesterday we said, oh, could you do it for a day or two? I think most of, we said, yeah, I think we could. But it, for me, it was after 2 days, I need to talk to somebody, feel like I'm alive.
I mean...
But we never determined what it was for you.
It's different in, like, during COVID when we were so isolated, you had your family. And I like them.
That doesn't count.
I know.
Alone, alone.
I was never like, I gotta be around people, ever. I don't dislike people. It's just, it requires a lot of energy. I don't know. I think I could go a week. Maybe longer.
At a week, you're going, all right, I need to go have coffee with somebody. I want to have a short conversation with my husband, and then I can go another week.
I mean, are we taking into account, like, I would be isolated from my family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're alone.
But, like, in the context of my life. I mean, I wouldn't want to go that long without talking. But that's about my relationships with my family, not my want and genetic need to be around people. My family and people is very different. I wouldn't want to go a day without talking to my kids and my husband.
Well, I think that's your answer then. I think that is what matters, and that's what counts.
What was the topic about yesterday?
How long you could be alone. I don't remember how we got there.
Why were we talking about that yesterday?
But we were.
It was one of the questions about intelligence. How long?
About being in solitude or on your own.
Yeah, being comfortable.
I don't think that's the same thing, but it's your question, so... I wouldn't want to go any amount of time. I'm talking to my husband right now.
Yeah, I like talking to my wife, so it wouldn't be that long.
Well, dang. Now I'm stuck at 2 days. Now I feel like
I don't know what's so wrong with your family. Dang, that you're Ryan. Like, I'll take it. But it's like a completely different question. Like you individually, if you're talking about what it was like before you, I mean, they're your children and your spouse. Why would you be like, I'm cool with any amount of time being away from them.
Oh, I'm fine with a day. A day break from everybody. Then I want to see everybody after that first full day is over. Mm. I've had my vacation.
Yeah. Well, I just like my family, so.
Your little smile.
What are you talking about? Brad, you have a question?
Yeah, I'm opening it up right now. It was... Dang. Sorry. It was... would you rather
My question is, what is your question?
Yeah. Would you rather have everyone know or be capable to read your thoughts, or for everyone you know to have access to your internet history?
You can have my internet history. You'd be so bored.
Yeah, it's kind of boring. Yeah, the internet history is more boring than my thoughts.
First of all, my thoughts are
all over the place.
My internet history is super boring, but nobody is going to be like, no way can you see what I've been looking at on the internet. No one's going to say that.
Yeah, right. Even if it is, you're not going to go, you can't see my search history.
Yeah, I think it doesn't come as a surprise that I would say that I have a boring internet search history to the point where if it were really spicy or something like that, I wouldn't be like saying that to you right now.
Yeah, you can.
So you have no idea.
I have no idea. I think I'd like to know your thoughts right now. Yeah, same thing. Look at my internet history. I don't want you to know what I'm thinking about you.
People would be shocked by how often I click on Real Clear Politics and look at polls. Dang, this guy spends a lot of time looking at cross tabs.
Do you have another question?
I do have one more. Do you currently collect anything?
Wait, this is like an every month question.
Have we?
Yes. And this is where you talk about your Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, my Dr. Pepper thing is not going very well, though. I wish it were.
How can it not go well? How can it go bad?
Well, because it's just kind of sitting there. I haven't added to it, nor have I displayed it. It's just in a closet.
It's because collecting things is for children.
Yes, I know, but it's kind of cool to have it. And now I'm like, well, why do I have it? There's no point to have it.
You're coming of age.
I guess so. I still like baseball cards a little bit, but I don't collect them. I have a lot of them.
I feel like collecting things is for people who have time for hobbies, and I don't live in a period of time where I have much time for hobbies. There's nothing wrong with collecting things. But I would think that, like, once you retire, you could get back into collecting things. But everybody who I know who's retiring and getting into their senior years is getting rid of everything they own.
Me too.
They're just purging, getting rid of it, don't want it, don't want to keep it, don't want to store it, don't want to have it.
Yeah, everybody I've ever known who's collected anything, and some people have had very substantial collections of superhero toys, or I had a friend who was really into Lego stuff. They're just selling it all now. So
why would you? Why? What do you collect, Brad?
I don't collect anything. My dad would say I collect old cars, but I only have 4 vehicles, so I haven't bought one in a long time.
Okay, thanks.
I don't collect anything.
Okay.
I have a question here from Joe.
Okay.
Joe wants to know, can Ryan twerk?
Can Ryan twerk? The question is, will Ryan twerk?
No. The question is, can. It is. I'm reading it right now on the screen.
Yes. The answer is an emphatic yes.
Have you ever, in your lifetime, really given it your all on the dance floor in a twerk?
Okay. Specific to that question, no. Not
time is now.
On the dance floor. But my wife
even
sees it.
Where's if, John? If I'm John in here.
If I'm in a really good mood, she knows, like, uh-oh, Ryan's twerking. Just because I'm like, uh-oh, something good just happened. And I start doing a twerk because it cracks her up. It's great. It's so shocking. It doesn't come up very often. But when it does, it's really funny. I think, honestly,
now
it's
I'm mad
funny.
At Joe, too. Joe, you got one job, and that's not send this show into this direction.
It's funny because I'm pretty good at it. That's why it's
that's
funny.
Not even possible.
It is.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
no,
it
it's
is.
Not.
He said I'm pretty good
if
at
you're
it.
Not, uh-huh. You're not good at it. I've never seen it. Never going to see it. You're not good at it.
Look.
No, you're not.
A lot of what you're doing right you're now, not. I would call bait. And one thing I don't take is bait.
You are the easiest person to bait in the history of time. No,
okay, maybe.
Also, I do not want to see you twerk.
No,
there,
no
that
you
is
don't.
That is an emphatically truthful statement.
Yeah, because you would need a fan. You'd have to fan yourself because it is awesome. It's pretty hot. Yeah, it's really good. Like Miley Cyrus would be jealous because it's really good. And I don't have the kind of body that should do it that well. I will say that. That's why it looks so ridiculous. Thanks for the question, though. Do you want me to ask the next one? I mean, what are you waiting for here?
You are not a twerker.
Heck yes. No, you're right. I'm not a twerker.
Uh-uh.
But I have mastered the art of twerking.
No, you haven't mastered it.
I have.
You have not mastered the art of twerking.
If you were to have seen a twerk and then you put that perfect twerk onto me, you would be shocked and amazed.
That doesn't make sense.
Like if on the internet you go, man, now that's a perfect twerk.
What is a perfect twerk?
And you take that out of the context of like some music video and then you put it on me doing it, you'd be, wow, you'd be amazed.
I would never do that.
No, I know you wouldn't. But if you had to, because this is Ask Me Anything, and Joe asked, can Ryan twerk? And now we've gotten 5 minutes out of it.
Dash says we're from the Show Me State. No, we are not. We are from the land of Lincoln, and we will put respect on that name. G-Whip says Ryan is confusing twerk with twerp.
No, I'm not. I'll do it at some sort of remote, like next time we're out
Yeah, the one that I'm not at. Go do it at a Camo X remote. I'm formulating a plan here.
This is amazing.
You show up to the Dave Glover remote, the next DGS remote, and be like, hey guys, remember me? Got to shoot a video. And then put it on their account. I don't even know if they have a video account.
Camo X does a lot of opening day remote broadcasts. They need to do a closing day remote broadcast.
You never know when closing day is.
I know. That's why it would be fun. Because you'd get to hear it. See a little twerking. Everybody goes home happy.
Man. Thanks, Joe, for the question. Do we have more questions from people? Do we want to take a break and answer more on the other side?
Let's take a break and then we'll answer.
All right. We're going to do Be or Not to Be in the 2 o'clock hour at 2:05. So stick around for that. If you have questions that are better than Joe's about Ryan and twerking, stick around. Leave a comment on the YouTube channel. We'll get right back to them. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Wrapping up a little Ask Us Anything. We are asking you on the YouTube live chat poll, is Kamala Harris's race an important topic in the presidential race? Yes or no? Scooter commented and said, regarding her poll question, I believe some voters won't vote for Harris because she is black. Man, I think that we're, I guess, a racist country still. I don't know anybody in my life who is not going to vote for Kamala Harris for that reason.
I don't either.
But I guess Scooter knows those people. He's hanging out with the wrong people. That's strange.
Yeah, man, that's bummer.
Let's get back to Ask Us Anything and answer some more of your questions. You got us? You got some?
Yeah.
Microphone.
Man, I'm all over the place.
He says, oh, dang it.
No, this is the wrong one. This is the one I wanted.
It's very fluid.
What is the strangest thing that you believed as a child?
This is pretty good, though, for our first radio show.
Amazing. The strangest thing.
I thought that sloths were extinct until like 2016.
Really?
Oh my gosh, yes. You don't know that story?
No, I don't think I've ever heard this story.
I actually, there's still 10% of me that believes that they were extinct and they came back and they told everybody else and just not me. I was watching on YouTube, there is this video. A lot of you have probably seen it. There is a sloth. I think he's trying to like cross the road or something like
that.
Yeah,
super cute.
And this guy goes, and the sloth like slowly turns around and looks at the camera and smiles so big. And I was like, this is really good CGI. I couldn't believe it. I think I said it to my husband. I'm like, oh my God, look at this. This looks real. And he's like, it is real. And I'm like, no, sloths are extinct. And he just sits there and stares at me. And I'm like, they're extinct. And he's like, they're not extinct. And I was so happy for them.
I can't believe I've... How long have we been doing a radio show and I've never heard that
story? You haven't heard that story?
I've told the story on the show many times.
No, there's no way. That's a great story.
Yeah.
And I have a perfect memory. So obviously you've never told it before.
I think, I don't know if that's the strangest thing that I believed as a child. I also believe that as an adult, unfortunately. But I am still, every time I see him, really excited for the sloths.
That's actually kind of a fun place to
just
be.
Just like, good for you.
Yeah.
Now, most of the time you don't find things out that are that happy.
Yeah. Most of the time it's bad news.
I thought that they were completely off the face of the planet, and here they are, being cute and slow.
I thought that the week between Christmas and New Year's was just a blank spot on the calendar.
When you were how old?
I don't know. I was probably...
Like just one long day?
No. Here's why this happened. Because every year, my aunt would get me an advent calendar for December. The advent calendar stops on the 25th. So I knew that after the 25th, it wasn't New Year's Day. So I thought, well, these must just be blank days on the calendar. I never saw a real calendar. I was just looking at the advent calendar.
Oh. Did you make it till 2016 believing that too?
No.
Okay.
Well, good for you. I saw a real calendar 2015.
What about you, Brad?
Man, it's really hard for me to think of something. The one thing that kind of sticks out in my mind is I distinctly remember being little. So I had to have been 2 or less than 2 because it was my brother, my mom being pregnant with my brother, and me arguing with her about why she had a basketball under her shirt. And that I believed that my mom like wholeheartedly had a basketball. She's like, no, that's my belly. I was like, no, that is a basketball. Why do you have it under your shirt? And that was it.
She pregnant?
Yeah.
Okay, just check.
I was too. I was waiting for, was she pregnant?
Pregnant with my brother.
Because, no, it was a soccer ball or something. I thought that was the end of the story.
All right, I got another one here. Lori wants to know, what is your favorite all-time movie?
Moulin Rouge.
Ooh, Moulin Rouge. Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge. Dang, 3 for 3.
Awesome, man.
I don't know that I've ever seen
it. I don't think I have either.
Love it, love it, love it.
The movie is called Wet Hot American Summer.
Okay.
It is my favorite.
Part of your internet search history?
No, well, yeah, I guess so. It's one of the first
Who's
movies from Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler, Elizabeth Banks, a whole bunch of stars, a whole bunch of comedians.
Is it before they're huge stars?
It was. Paul Rudd had been in Clueless, but this was one of his first big movies. So yeah, it was their first real breakout movie for all of these people. And lots of people are in it. It is a very funny movie.
Amber Warren says Princess Bride, classic. I like Spaceballs more than Princess Bride in that arena, but I love all of those movies.
Yeah, that's good stuff. How about...
what's your favorite movie?
Oh, dang, and I have to answer this. I still have to go back and...
Yeah, because it's hard, Brad.
It's hard for me to come up with one that's my favorite because I don't really do that sort of thing. But if I had to pick one, I think it would be Empire Strikes Back. So the second of the original trilogy of the Star Wars movies is the best one.
Can I pull up a listener question? I think this is a really good one. It's from George W. How does it feel for the first time in your life to have a presidential or vice presidential candidate younger than you are? I don't take that as a hit. I think that's a good question.
It was noteworthy to me.
Yeah.
He is, J.D. Vance is 39.
Oh, man.
He is turning 40 in August. I think maybe within the next week. He is also born in 1984. There are a ton of people who are prominent in news and politics, commentary, and so on and so forth, who were born in 1984, which is the year that I was born in. I find that minorly ironic, but it's kind of crazy. Like, you do see, I mean, you remember what it was like to be the age of the pro baseball players or the pro football players, or to be older than all of the college athletes and be like, I'm older than all those people. And then you start calling them kids. but I did pay attention to the fact that J.D. Vance is my age. That's pretty crazy.
Huh, because that it did not cross my radar at all that he was younger than us until George asked that question.
When George asked that question, I thought he was being facetious or something. Because
I mean, maybe he is, but it doesn't read that way.
J.D., it says to have a presidential or vice presidential candidate younger than you are. I've very publicly said in April I turned 40. And J.D. Vance is 39. He turns 40 this month. And it is something that impacted me. Like, I could, if I were qualified, become the vice president of the United States. People are entertaining the idea that that would be a responsible decision.
The pro baseball player thing did hit me. And the college thing. At some point, I went, oh, man, I'm older than the college players
or
now.
Like Adam Wainwright, who is probably exactly your age.
Yeah.
Like, how senior citizen the people would refer to him in his line
That's
of
rough.
Work.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan, you're someday going to hit your prime.
Oh, I've still got a lot of pitches left in this arm. But I
all
just
of them.
Haven't
in
used
fact.
The one.
Yeah, they're just sitting there not being used. But I did kind of strike me, and Adam Wainwright's a good one because we're the same age almost exactly, that, yeah, this is, like, everybody now is younger than me. There is no way that I could play a professional sport. Not as if I was entertaining.
Your
that.
Dreams are finally but coming to a crashing
I finally
halt.
Went, oh, no, I'm done. Yeah. That's a moment, though.
Yeah. I think the J.D. Vance thing is interesting. Any other questions? I like this one, maybe to think about for the 2 o'clock hour, and we'll get back to it. You can merge two animals to make a new one. What are you putting together?
I'm putting a mouse.
No, don't.
Okay.
Don't say yet.
Okay.
We'll come back to it.
Okay.
Bobo always hits us with all of the questions. One of these days, we'll answer the cheesecake one that somebody keeps asking every week. We don't have any answer to it. Is it a cake or a pie? I don't know.
It's just a fact-based question.
It's Kamala Harris's race, an important topic in the presidential campaign, yes or no? Vote on the Any Fry YouTube channel. Let's do Beard at the Beat. Leave a comment on the YouTube channel. We'll get right back to them. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Any Fry Show. Wrapping up a little Ask Us Anything. We are asking you on the YouTube live chat poll, is Kamala Harris's race an important topic in the presidential race? Yes or no? Scooter commented and said, regarding her poll question, I believe some voters won't vote for Harris because she is black. Man, think that we're, I guess, a racist country still. I don't know anybody in my life who is not going to vote for Kamala Harris for that reason.
I don't either.
But I guess Scooter knows those people. He's hanging out with the wrong people. That's strange.
Yeah, man, that's bummer.
Let's get back to Ask Us Anything and answer some more of your questions. You got us? You got some?
Yeah.
Microphone.
Man, I'm all over the place.
He says, oh, dang it.
No, this is the wrong one. This is the one I wanted.
It's very fluid.
What is the strangest thing that you believed as a child?
This is pretty good, though, for our first radio show.
Amazing. The strangest thing.
I thought that sloths were extinct until like 2016.
Really?
Oh my gosh, yes. You don't know that story?
No, I don't think I've ever heard this story.
I actually, there's still 10% of me that believes that they were extinct and they came back and they told everybody else and just not me. I was watching on YouTube, there is this video. A lot of you have probably seen it. There is a sloth. I think he's trying to like cross the road or something like
that.
Yeah,
super cute.
And this guy goes, and the sloth like slowly turns around and looks at the camera and smiles so big. And I was like, this is really good CGI. I couldn't believe it. I think I said it to my husband. I'm like, oh my God, look at this. This looks real. And he's like, it is real. And I'm like, no, sloths are extinct. And he just sits there and stares at me. And I'm like, they're extinct. And he's like, they're not extinct. And I was so happy for them.
I can't believe how long have we been doing a radio show and I've never heard that
story? You haven't heard that story?
I've told the story on the show many times.
No, there's no way. That's a great story.
Yeah.
And I have a perfect memory. So obviously you've never told it before.
I don't know if that's the strangest thing that I believed as a child. I also believe that as an adult, unfortunately. But I am still, every time I see him, really excited for the sloths.
It's actually kind of a fun place to
be.
Just
like, good for you.
Yeah.
Now, most of the time you don't find things out that are that happy.
Yeah. Most of the time it's bad news.
I thought that they were completely off the face of the planet, and here they are, being cute and slow.
I thought that the week between Christmas and New Year's was just a blank spot on the calendar.
When you were how old?
I don't know. I was probably...
like just one long day.
No. Here's why this happened. Because every year my aunt would get me a advent calendar for December. The advent calendar stops on the 25th. So I knew that after the 25th, it wasn't New Year's Day. So I thought, well, these must just be blank days on the calendar. I never saw a real calendar. I was just looking at the advent calendar.
Oh. Did you make it till 2016 believing that too?
No.
Okay.
Well, good for you. I saw a real calendar 2015.
What about you, Brad?
Man, it's really hard for me to think of something. The one thing that kind of sticks out in my mind is I distinctly remember being little. So I had to have been 2 or less than 2 because it was my brother, my mom being pregnant with my brother, and me arguing with her about why she had a basketball under her shirt. And that I believed that my mom like wholeheartedly had a basketball. She's like, no, that's my belly. I was like, no, that is a basketball. Why do you have it under your shirt? And that was it.
She pregnant?
Yeah.
Okay, just check.
I was two. I was waiting for, was she pregnant?
Pregnant with my brother.
Because, no, it was a soccer ball or something. I thought that was the end of the story.
All right, I got another one here. Lori wants to know, what is your favorite all-time movie?
Moulin Rouge.
Ooh, Moulin Rouge. Moulin Rouge.
Dang, 3 for 3.
Awesome, man.
I don't know that I've ever seen
it. I don't think I have either.
Love it.
The movie is called Wet Hot American Summer.
Okay.
It is my favorite.
Part of your internet search history?
No, well... yeah, I guess so. It's one of the first
Who's
movies from Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler, Elizabeth Banks, a whole bunch of stars, whole bunch of comedians.
Is it before they're huge stars?
It was. Paul Rudd had been in Clueless, but this was one of his first big movies. So yeah, it was their first real breakout movie for all of these people. And lots of people are in it. It is a very funny movie.
Amber Warren says Princess Bride, classic. I like Spaceballs more than Princess Bride in that arena. But I love all of those movies.
Yeah, it's good stuff. How about...
What's your favorite movie?
Oh, dang. And I have to answer this. I still have to go back and...
Yeah, because it's hard, Brad.
It's hard for me to come up with one that's my favorite because I don't really do that sort of thing. But if I had to pick one, I think it would be Empire Strikes Back. So the second of the original trilogy of the Star Wars movies is the best one.
Can I pull up a listener question? I think this is a really good one. It's from George W. How does it feel for the first time in your life to have a presidential or vice presidential candidate younger than you are? I don't take that as a hit. I think that's a good question.
It was noteworthy to me.
Yeah.
He is, J.D. Vance is 39.
Oh, man.
He is turning 40 in August. I think maybe within the next week. He is also born in 1984. There are a ton of people who are prominent in news and politics, commentary, and so on and so forth, who were born in 1984, which is the year that I was born in. I find that minorly ironic, but it's kind of crazy. Like, you do see, I mean, you remember what it was like to be the age of the pro baseball players or the pro football players, or to be older than all of the college athletes and be like, I'm older than all those people. And then you start calling them kids. but I did pay attention to the fact that J.D. Vance is my age. That's pretty crazy.
Huh, because that it did not cross my radar at all that he was younger than us until George asked that question.
When George asked that question, I thought he was being facetious or something. Because
I mean, maybe he is, but it doesn't read that way.
J.D., it says to have a presidential or vice presidential candidate younger than you are. I've very publicly said in April I turned 40, and J.D. Vance is 39. He turns 40 this month. And it is something that impacted me. Like, I could, if I were qualified, become the vice president of the United States. People are entertaining the idea that that would be a responsible decision.
The pro baseball player thing did hit me. And the college thing. At some point, I went, oh, man, I'm older than the college players
or
now.
Or like Adam Wainwright, who is probably exactly your age.
Yeah.
Like, how senior citizen-y people would refer to him in his line
That's
of
rough.
Work.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan, you're someday going to hit your prime.
Oh, I've still got a lot of pitches left in this arm. But I
all
just
of them.
Haven't
in
used
fact.
The one.
they're just sitting there not being used. But I did kind of strike me, and Adam Wainwright's a good one because we're the same age almost exactly, that, yeah, this is like everybody now is younger than me. There is no way that I could play a professional sport. Not as if I was entertaining.
Your
that.
Dreams are finally but coming to a crashing
I finally
halt.
Went, oh, no, I'm done. Yeah. That's a moment, though.
Yeah. I think the J.D. Vance thing is interesting. Any other questions? I like this one, maybe to think about for the 2 o'clock hour, and we'll get back to it. You can merge two animals to make a new one. What are you putting together?
I'm putting a mouse.
No, don't.
Okay.
Don't say yet.
Okay.
We'll come back to it.
Okay.
Bobo always hits us with all of the questions. One of these days, we'll answer the cheesecake one that somebody keeps asking every week. We don't have any answer to it. Is it a cake or a pie? I don't know.
It's just a fact-based question.
It's Kamala Harris's race, an important topic in the presidential campaign, yes or no? Vote on the Any Fry YouTube channel. Let's do Beard at the Beat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.